glory to Jesus. In your name, and we will shout it, Lord God. And thank you, Jesus. No, we cannot keep still. Lord, it's just too much. It's too wonderful. And Lord, thank you again. Whom you have made free is free indeed. Thank you for our liberty in Christ. Thank you, Lord, again for grace. Thank you, God, for mercy. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit's power. Thank you, Lord, for this wondrous life of Christ that lives in us. Lord, thank you that we rely upon you alone, that we are your workmanship alone, that you are the one that causes us to will and to do of your good pleasure. And I thank the Lord that any good thought would have to be by let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Lord, help us to be a people that would never take one bit of credit. It is all the beautiful Lamb of God. We are here today to worship you, Jesus. We are here to magnify you, beloved Jesus. We're here to lift you up and exalt you and you alone, because only you are worthy to be praised. And we thank you in your precious and wonderful, mighty and loving name, Jesus. Amen. Go ahead and open your Bibles today. We're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Lord has laid this on our hearts, and I believe this will be in two parts. But who knows what God may do. But I think he's got a couple Sundays for us, the Spirit's encouragement here. But it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, reading from verse 27, but God, that's always a good thing, but God hath chosen, that's what he did, notice it's done, hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen, done, the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. I get my life. Do you get your life? Do you understand why God chose you? Why he selected you? Why that is such a beautiful thing to rejoice in? And if any of us don't think that's me, God help you. Because if you're hearing his word, I'm just going to tell you, that's got to be you. But I love how it wraps up there, the things which are not, to bring forth things that are. Now, I love rejoicing in the are nots. And out here today are a lot of brother and sister are nots. I was thinking we used to have a brother Arno that used to be here. But the are nots never left. Praise God, we're here. And I thank the Lord that how beautiful that we do know what he's doing in us and what we're being utilized in such a magnificent way that without us he cannot be complete. And what us are nots are going to be used to bring forth. And I sit there and I go, oh my Lord. Now, even though that's so grand and so mighty and all these things that the Lord so ministers to our heart, yet often we find ourselves murmuring because we can't see what God's doing. Let's be honest. And especially with what God is doing with us, around us, in us, all these different things. We are always looking to God oftentimes. And I've heard it so many times. I wish the Lord would give me a sign. You know, give me a dream. Give me a clue.
Let me see a pattern. I'm going to tell you something. God don't work that way. He just doesn't. He doesn't do that. We are people that don't want to settle down in understanding that God has already given us everything. He's given us the word, and he's given us faith. And our life, it lives by the faith of the Son of God. See, that's what's so powerful. The faith that I have is the very faith of Jesus Christ. Because it had to be that life, his life that came into me, that would have faith. See, that's why a sinner can't have faith. You have to have the life of Christ to have faith. That's why we need to ask Jesus to come into our life. As we ask Jesus and we believe him and take him as Savior, praise be to God, that is that encouragement, not of me, but of the Holy Ghost that had dealt with my heart to say, Lord, I believe. Once again, it's all by the grace of God. Amen? We are saved by grace. And he uses through faith. But it has to be that grace that gives us the faith. And as we go on, I thank the Lord. That gives me great hope and thanksgiving to God. Because I no longer rely upon Jesse. I know I have the very power of God, the life of Jesus Christ that lives in me. I thank the Lord for that. I can believe the Lord in all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What would be the things to do? Believe God. People want to do all these great things. What pleases God? Faith. Believe God. That's what this life of Christ is in you for, is to believe God. To trust him, to grow up into that life. See, unless I had his life, I can't grow up into him in all things. Unless I have his life, I can't be a son of God. Unless I have his life, I can't be accepted by the Father. That's why it had to be his life. And that's the beautiful thing. That's the oneness that we have in Christ. That's why we all can come into this unity of faith and believe the Lord together. And we can trust him in that. And we can encourage one another that, no, not look at me. You need to look at the life that lives in you. It can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. It can. Amen. It's all there. All the capacity for everything is right there. You got to quit looking at the exterior. You got to quit looking at the flesh. The Lord, he looks at the inner man, that heart. And it's a heart, not that's always, in a sense, doing right. It's a heart that's always broken before him. It's a heart that's always contrite before him and has a bended knee before him. And no matter what's going down, Lord, I know this is you. Whether I made my bed in hell today or whether I'm singing on the height of the mountain, you're there, and it's got to be you. Amen. Now, God doesn't work in those ways of just going to show us signs and show us wonders. That's all the masses wanted when Jesus was here. They saw him doing miracles. Man, I want to see more of that. I want to see more of those things. That's why the Antichrist and the false prophet, they're going to gain the attention of the whole world. Because all of those mighty acts are going to come through those two. That Antichrist is going to pop up from the dead. They're going to think that's Christ himself. And the one that did rise from the dead and the one that rose by the power of the Spirit of the Lord, he rose before them and they still didn't believe. But I thank God today I believe. Amen. And that's the only one, I'm telling you, that's the only one, praise God, that I'm here with today, just like you're here with today, Christ in me, the hope of glory, and I believe. So, how God works is God takes a shepherd boy, and he takes a shepherd boy with no training at all, and he makes him the greatest king that ever ruled over Israel. Think of that. We've got a God that is the God that takes the runt of a litter. Amen. The runt of a litter. He takes the less of the least. He takes a coward. He takes a doubter. He takes the most insecure. You could put your name right there, but I'll tell you the one that testified this. His name was Gideon. Gideon. And he took that one, that coward, that absolute insecure to the height of insecurity. Come on. Kept doubting God. God was so merciful, he did give him a sign. He did show him. But it was because God already chose him. And he made him one of the greatest leaders, warriors, and judge over Israel. Praise God. Our God is the God that takes the guy who is working in an idol shop. And he says, Abram, follow me. And then he changes him into Abraham, the father of our faith. That's how God works. Our God is the God that takes Rahab, the harlot and madam of the brothel. We could go on and on. And transforms her into the wife of the Redeemer. Our God is the God that takes the one that is the orphan, Esther, and makes her the jointly reigning and ruling queen. Our God is the God that takes filthy, cursing fishermen and says, thank you, Father, for what you've given me. These are my friends and my disciples. That's our God. That's how God works. That's God's ways. And this is the God, praise God, that it's always the exact extreme opposite of man's choice and your choice. It's true. Because God and his choice is mercy. That's true. I got to stay with this one. He's got about three more running through my heart right now. Now, are you beginning to see a pattern? There's a pattern here. And the pattern is there's no pattern. That's the pattern. It's true. And the pattern is one thing, though. I'm going to have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. I will have mercy. Okay? Now, I'm here with vessels. He's chosen you for mercy. Yes, he has. That's what the glorious thing is. He's chosen you for mercy. Now, how come I don't want to go along with that? God forbid I wouldn't want to go along with that. If he's chosen you for mercy, why wouldn't I be merciful too? That means full of mercy. Thankfulness of mercy. That man, I went boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy. Look at who I saw here with me. A whole host of them. These are mercy-seeking vessels that realize that that's the only place that he's going to bestow upon me the riches of his glory. We talk about this, don't we? We come in here, and thanks be to God, there's the ministry every single time. Always. Every single ministering. It's the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, ruling and reigning jointly together with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's all of that. And it comes one way, the only way that we're ever bestowed the riches of his glory. It's all mercy. It's all grace. It's all what he just told us. I chose. I hath chosen. He hath chosen the despised, the weak, the cast off, all of these things. And it doesn't change. He keeps choosing that. That's what he's chosen. And that's a promise of God. Always. And going forward, it's a promise of God. That's why Paul, he wanted to break from a lot of things. And that's why he called out and he said, oh Lord, I'm just so frustrated. I see the beauty of God. And here he is in Romans 7. And he says, oh, the good that I would, I do not. But the evil that I would not, that I do. Paul, I chose that. I chose the weak. I chose the despised. I chose that. But see, that's truly everybody. There's ones that think that they've got their life together. I want to be the one that Jesus chose. See, the one that thinks that they have their life together and they're just working it all out and all this, and I'm even speaking about Christians, it's never going to work. You're going to end up, and it's going to be an ending of cold. You're going to be frustrated beyond. You're going to be mad at everybody else. You're going to blame everybody else, and you're going to be beginning to judge everybody else. And I thank the Lord for the evidence in the ministry by His Spirit of mercy and grace, because I am surrounded by people that are joyous, that are spiritual, that lift up my hands, that aren't looking for ones, well, who's going to fail and how can we get this right and how do we go out and look? I want you to know His love. When you know that this Lamb of God is in love with you, it will change your life. You'll be happy beyond. You'll be thankful. You'll be peaceful. You'll have abounding hope when things in this life and in this world are hitting the fan at an increasing rate. And you know what I'm saying. It's all falling apart, but I'm going up. It's all falling apart, but I'm growing up. And people are, you know, that see you and then finally, you know, if the Lord, and the Lord has, touch them. Because they're mostly going to be irritated with you or again, try to pick at you or whatever it is. The Shulamite in the Song of Solomon, that was going down all the time. The Lord kept wooing her and wooing her and wooing her, and the other ones didn't get it. Oh, you need to do this. That's why she was trying to make herself up before she got to the door, because she'd been hearing all the little chirping. Well, you've got to do this, and you've got to get your life right, and you got to. The Lord said, just get yourself to the door. I love you. I love you. I picked you. I chose you. I chose you just the way you are. When are you going to get that? See, that's what's so beautiful. I want you. And that love is what transforms your life. That is it. That's why I'm here today. I promise you, I assure you, I know Jesus is in love with me. And when I'm telling you that He's in love with me, I'm in love with Him. And when you really are in love with someone, you love what they love. And let me tell you something, He loves you. I mean, He loves you so. It is so beyond. He dotes on you. Oh, how the anointing covers your life. For Him to continue to come and to woo our hearts, to say, honeys, come, take of me, all of me. Praise the Lord. Now, God again, He calls and God chooses, and it's always those that He foreknew. And that's you. That's you. And what He's speaking about here is ones that would hear Him, right? Not just hang around Him. Not just want to try to get in a conversation. He wanted ones that would hear Him. Like the woman at His feet. I just want to smell you, Jesus. That would want to know Him. Right? Not talk about all about their life and themselves. But to know Him. And not ask Him, well, how do I need to live and what do I need to do? I want to know you. I want to know you. And then He chose those that would overall know they need Him for everything. And to a degree that I can't do anything. Nothing. The capacity that I have is a big zero, and He's everything. Now, I was touched in heart because I love the story, and I believe it pertains to this so wonderfully. I think, at least in my opinion, for whatever that's worth, the greatest statue that's ever been created. And I believe that that is the David that you find in Italy. That was sculpted, I truly believe, by the hands of God through a man named Michelangelo. And I love that story. how it all came about. They had commissioned back in the late 1400s that these different statues would be made. And here they came to two of the greatest artists at that time. Michelangelo was not even born yet. All right? He wasn't born yet when the concept, the idea, and the commission to create that David went out. That's the truth. So they had this one artist that came forward, and they brought this piece of marble that is just absolute, this giant piece. Because that David statue came out of a piece of marble that was two stories high. It's a big work. If you haven't seen it, I encourage you, maybe go see it sometime. You'll enjoy it. You'll sit there, and then they'll have to pull you out. You get an hour, and then you start hiding because you want to see it longer than that. Now, so they got the marble. First guy saw it, tried, worked with it and everything, and didn't go well. Second guy saw it, looked at it, tried to do it, didn't go well. And what happened was what they both gave up. And the reason they gave up is they blamed the marble. It wasn't them. Artists are artists. It could not be the artist. But it was that piece of marble. That marble that was chosen for the masterpiece, what they said is it was junk. It was unusable, it had too many imperfections, and they refused to even go any further to finish that work because there was no way out of that chunk of marble that it could be formed into a masterpiece. No way. It just could not happen. So they said, forget it. That chunk of marble sat there for 35 years. 35 years it sat there. But then it was the master's turn. The master's turn to reveal what had always been hidden in that piece of marble. Now, see, to me, that's starting to quicken my heart because it sounds like before he ever set a star in heaven, he saw something in us in Christ that the master would bring forth for his masterpiece. All right. So now at this time, Michelangelo is a whopping 26 years old, just a young man. And you know, when he's shown this and they inquire of him to do it, they asked him, well, do you want another piece of marble? And he said, I don't want any other piece of marble. He said, it has to be that one. He said that it has to be that lump, and only that lump was where the masterpiece was hidden. That lump that was discarded by all of the other masters, they thought. It couldn't be. It was too riddled with holes. It was just a piece of junk. But once again, I'm looking at our verse today, that the things that are not to bring forth things that are. Well, those that know about this statue know the result. I really believe no other sculpture can compare to this. And if you see it and you sit there long enough, and I'll assure you this, if you have any type of heart and imagination, that thing looks like that David is going to walk right off that pedestal. I kid you not. No matter which angle you see it from. The pores in that, I'd almost say that man's hands, the veins, the eyes, the ears, everything about it, it is so eerily real. But even that masterpiece can't be compared with what God is bringing forth in you and me. And I really want you to take that to heart. That's just a natural story. But the finest artists, I mean, those were the greatest sculptors of that day, said there is no way. And I don't know what Christian has ever analyzed you that is known as the great authority that has told you there is no way. You got the master on you. And that master has promised you that he will perform the good work which he's begun in you. Now, I'm going to ask each and every one of us here today, what work does he have upon your life? And I mean, as we come in here and dwell together every Sunday, Wednesday, Friday, and even at your house, because I know he don't stop. It's the masterpiece of his wife. It's his bride. So what is he promising that he's going to perform in your life? Amen. I mean, I trust him to do that. That's why I want my eyes looking where his eyes are. See, I want to look at that. I want to look at what he's looking at. You know what he looks at? He looks at the inward man. The inward man. The inward man. What's inside the marble? And what's inside the marble is a masterpiece. Because it's him. It's him. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. The value of what we are with him and in him and him in us. It couldn't have come forth any other way. He had to have us. We had to have him. To take the throne with him in glory, I have to have him. To take the throne in glory, he has to have his wife. That's the incredible beauty about the grace plan of God, this love. And once again, if you allow the Holy Ghost to really capture your attention and that faith that you've been given to believe that, it'll transform your life. You talk about all the things that we think about. I don't feel needed. I don't feel valued. I don't feel all. That'll all get thrown out the door. The Lord values me like this. I don't need anybody else's approval, and I don't mean that. I mean, in a sense of disrespecting somebody, I appreciate somebody loving me in the Lord, but it's him. It's him. I want to be where he is. I want, and I'm talking about where his heart is. What he values. What he wants me to look at. What he wants me to be truly overcome with. All right? I'm believing that he will perform it. And I was thinking about this too. I pray you really understand why. I thank the Lord. You know, some people say, well, that brother, he just always preaches that. Praise God. And I challenge you, how many dimensions of it could you even think about seeing? Because it only gets more beautiful all the time. That's all I can tell you is I thank God. And the reason that we do preach this, brothers and sisters, is because it's always this grace and mercy. Because that is exactly where all growth comes, from grace. Understanding this, believing this, truly this simplistic, beautiful seed, his life that he put in us, it just needs to grow. The lily doesn't toil. Why do we want to touch it if we're the clay and we can't anyways? You can't. It's some stupid fantasy. We are his workmanship. His. And we're created in Christ Jesus. In him. And he in us. And that's the beauty of this masterpiece, brothers and sisters. And God help us that we just grow in more appreciation and praise for his grace, thanking him that we are his workmanship and that that piece of marble can't do a thing except be insulted by people that don't get it. And I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about Christians. I'll just hit it like it is. Learn to give your reverence to God. Learn to love his choice. Learn to hear him. God help us not to turn, not to just go after that. There's no other reason as the Lord put on my heart today, to come to a church or to hear a sermon, if you're not giving, if that's not giving you everything to grow up into Him fully. Do you understand that? And I thank God, because I believe one of us was praying today that it's just pure grace. Pure grace. Nothing altered. Absolute Him. And that's why I thank the Lord that when we have that, when we, by God's grace, preach that, that's the word of His grace that brings forth the masterpiece that's set apart to Him. It's glorious, isn't it? Let Him do that work. Know what He has put in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. The hope of all glory sitting here today. That's what's so gorgeous. He saw that a long time ago. Quit wanting another piece of marble. Quit thinking it's got to be something different. Quit wanting even something different. You know what? I thank God. He touched my heart, whether it was for my life and especially my children's life, to watch that glory and to watch the glory upon your life, His hands. And you know what? That masterpiece almost done. It's a glass darkly, but I'm seeing. I'm seeing it. It's just the beauty of Him. We're walking forth in pure mercy, aren't we? Pure grace. All of that stuff. And that's what He's chosen to bestow the riches of His glory on. We're about ready to see Him, saints. About ready to see Him. Let's pray. We come in Jesus' name. And Lord, You've gathered, as we've been encouraged as of late, a bunch of bended reeds, smoke and flax. Lord, thank You for that precious, that gentle wind of the Spirit that You're starting to send a little bit more and a little bit more. Lord, there's a stirring going on in Your coals. You've gathered us together. And Lord, we're beginning to enter into that one voice and that unity of praise, that one faith. And God, that mind that is set upon one thing. And Lord, we do rejoice and give You all the praise. And Lord, help us to truly be still. And just continue to hear Him. Hear Him. You've given us that ear to hear You. Thank You again as You deal with us so gently. In the fierceness of Your love, but yet it comes in such kindness. And it stopped us here again today to say, thank You. I do know. And by Your grace, I do believe that You will accomplish in the thing that You have sent it. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.